Yeah, so, right, listeners, now, let me tell you now where you've gone wrong, right? You've left your radio on, right? Bit of talk, bit of music, bit of news, yeah? Well, yeah, should have checked the schedule, you see. You've ended up with IT stuff. We do opinionated tech talk. So, like, if you want to bail out now, now's your chance, okay? Otherwise, you're going to end up with me and Chris.
Oh, hello.
And she.
Woohoo!
And for some bizarre reason, our chum Dick has turned up after all this time.
Hello, world.
He's speaking through the medium of a text to...
Wow,
thingy.
He's upgraded since the last time we met him.
He's had an upgrade. You've all been warned.
Warmed. You've all been warmed.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. So here we are in the studio having a little climate emergency all of our own, and we've got the cans in. Cheers.
Cheers.
Ah. Oh, that's better. And, we might as well kick off, as we like to do, with Don't Be Evil Google. So, everybody knows those scam phone calls about tech support, right?
Just don't answer the phone, that's how we do it.
It's been going on for years, any sort of phone calls. I mean, you know, spam phone calls,
right? Yeah, like 90% of the phone calls you get is either some old relative that you'd rather not really try
wow.
to... or alternatively, it's just like, your computer is slow, my computer runs Linux, go away. Mm. Google... they've been trying to do their bit.
What is it then?
Well, okay, what they've done is they've banned adverts for tech support.
Okay, all of them?
All of them.
From Google specifically or from any companies in the world?
So does that mean they won't sell your virus software anymore?
Oh, technically, yeah.
It's pretty much, yeah, I mean, they thought they were going some way towards that noble ideal, right? Mm-hmm. And then they run, like, most of the ad platforms out there, right? Which is why the answer to your question is yes, all that. And more.
Wow.
But here's the fun thing. Like, if you're an official Apple tech support company, then, okay, you're in there. If you're an official Microsoft tech support outfit, yeah, you're in there. All the third parties, all the competition for the people that Google wants to keep sweet, they've all got banned.
Wow.
Isn't that super?
So they are monopolising the tech support market and whitelisting.
Yeah, so if you're a small tech support shop in, you know, like a small town in
Idaho,
Backstreet, Britain,
Ohio.
Bradford.
Yeah. Well, yeah. We tend not to have that kind of tech support.
We do.
We do. There's lots of shops, as long as it's a phone that's broken.
Yeah. So they were going to introduce a verification program to tell good guys from bad guys.
Okay, go on then. How much is it?
You're on the right lines. It was going to cost a packet, no doubt, except they haven't even created it yet. It doesn't exist yet.
Oh.
So it's not just evil, it's incompetent as well.
Well, they can't verify good tech from bad tech.
Pretty much.
Except by you being rich.
This is how competitive capitalism works in the real world.
Well, that's how people know you're good, because you're rich. Right? That's how people know you're good at your job.
You can see how Google would reason in that sort of way.
Yeah.
Another thing, Don't Be Evil Boeing. Turns out that the software on the 737 Death Plunge Max, one. Turns out it was outsourced to temporary workers on like $9 an hour.
Well, you get what you pay for.
Pretty much,
yikes.
Yeah. For balance, because I strive to be balanced on this opinion show.
Okay.
Boeing reckoned those people weren't working on the actual death plunge wear. So that's all right then, isn't it?
So I guess the people that worked on the actual death plunge wear works on $10 an hour?
What happens is the likes of Boeing move people from India into the row of desks vacated by the people that they've sacked in Seattle. And so these folk that's come over straight out of college in India, they have to survive.
But it seems to be the case with a lot of companies in Silicon Valley that are outsourcing the same, they're doing the same thing, the habits. Oh, yeah. So this is like the best practice.
They've worked out that software is expensive, so they've found a way of making software cheaper.
And having more profits, I suppose. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Until things fall out of the sky. Are we about ready, do you think, for a mega social media roundup?
Oh,
that
wow.
Sounds terrible.
That's my
Please
favorite.
Don't involve me.
Donald Trump. People have been wondering for a while. We've pointed this out that, like, on the Twitters, considering violence is against the acceptable use policy, so, like, how is he still on there considering he threatened to nuke North Korea?
Yes.
That's before you get onto the hate speech.
No, what happened there, you see, is he didn't nuke North Korea, therefore he saved North Korea from being nuked.
But in the meanwhile, he was contravening the policy.
He was saving North Korea. You've got to look, it deserves, like, it's one of those, like, awards for not nuking people.
I mean, seriously, his Twitter account is the perfect troll account. He's just... He has amnesty. Nobody can touch him. He can pretty much say anything he wants to.
Admittedly, Chrissy's argument is, like, so bulletproof, I cannot think of a reason. I can't think of a hole in it. Whereas their new acceptable use policy, you can think of all sorts of holes in it. Like, their new acceptable use policy says that if you're somebody important, like Donald Trump, well, hey, we're not going to kick you off because you're somebody important, but we are going to put warnings against your hate speech.
Really?
Yeah.
Warning, so he has opinions.
So it's one rule for you and me, and another rule if you're the most powerful man in the world. Instagram is experimenting with hiding the count of likes.
So have we seen the eruption of angry people yet from the Instagram hive mind?
Oh, well...
No?
They're only experimenting in certain countries, like Canada, New Zealand, Japan, Brazil and Ireland.
So the nice people that don't really care about this are...
Actually, do you know... That is actually a list of all the countries with nice people in the world, isn't it? Oh my, I hadn't thought of that.
Well, you know, nicer
polite
than...
people, anyway.
Yeah, nicer than the States, anyways. They'll be a lot more vocal, right, about the censorship.
But, I mean, even if you do complain about it, it's not going to get any likes, is it?
So no.
You're not going to know that it's a popular opinion.
Oh, very good.
Ah, it's genius, isn't it? You like this one. Wikipedia co-founder Larry Sanger tried to organise a social media strike for the 4th and 5th of July to demonstrate on users' desire to regain control of privacy.
Okay.
How do you think that would? Do you think that worked?
Well, I didn't hear about it, so I don't know.
Yeah, and here's the best bit. He suggested using the hashtag social media strike.
How are you going to do a social media strike if you have to use social media?
Well, you just explain how you're not using it.
Yeah, this is...
And then you don't get any likes.
Oh, my God.
And you know it's all working fine.
This is... It has to be satire, right?
Yeah, no. I mean, he's really seriously annoyed with the state of the modern internet. And people have suddenly realised FaceApp, which lets you, like, age or gender morph pictures of your own gob.
Or
right?
other people's faces.
Or other people's, yeah. It doesn't have to be your own. Yeah. Funnily enough, it entails you giving a picture of your face to the Russians.
Nice.
And people are suddenly woken up and taking a dislike to this.
There's so many apps out there by the Russians and the Chinese.
Yeah. What are they going to do with your face anyway?
I don't know.
Look at it and they're going to go, you're old.
So, I don't know why people are getting all worked up about this. It's no big deal, except here's another one. The Russian Secret Service, the FSB, so that's not the one that's been giving us the trouble, which is the GRU.
Right.
This is the sort of like the lazy ones.
It's the internal people, isn't it? It's the ones that give the Russians the trouble.
Yeah. Well, they've just been hacked big time by a hacktivist group called 0V1RU Dollar. There's layers of meaning in that name.
Oh, yes.
They targeted a contractor named Cytec, and they snagged 7 terabytes of stuff that showed that the Ruskies were doing big data scrapes off of Facebook and LinkedIn, and they were de-anonymizing. Yeah. It's too old for words like de-anonymising, isn't it?
Yeah.
De-anonymising Tor. Okay. And on the way out, they left a smiley face behind.
Wow.
It said this website is under construction.
Oh. Yay. Back to the 90s.
Yeah.
Bring it back, bring it back.
It's nice of them, though, isn't it? Yeah. Put a smiley face on the FSB. And lastly, 2 illustrations of how handing your Twitters over to PR professionals can go wrong. Metropolitan Police suddenly started tweeting stuff like, "The police free da gang."
Ah, so cool.
And "Free digga D on Fuenem gang" is the good one. "What you gonna do, phone the police?" So it turns out the Met were using a third-party press release service that got hacked. MP Jared O'Mara from down there in that Sheffield that they have, his Twitter has said just yesterday, "Jared, you are the most disgustingly morally bankrupt person I have ever had the displeasure of working with." His own Twitter thought that of him. Well, either that or his communications guy.
I wonder which consultancy they got this idea from to use a PR professional on your Twitter account. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure it's monopolized by one or two companies, you know? One or two people.
Who cares as long as they tell the truth like that?
Yeah, great.
Yeah. So we want more details about why and how he's morally bankrupt.
Mm, interesting.
You never get details.
No.
Because they're gone now. They're not on Twitter anymore.
Yeah, going to have to fill it in with imagination, aren't we?
I think they've done a social media strike. That's why.
Yeah. Oh, well, never mind.
So what's going on in space? I heard something's going on in space.
Nothing.
Yeah. Well,
silence.
Yeah.
Silence.
Mm-hmm. Out there in space, there's an out-of-date ephemeris. And it's going round and round and round.
Mm.
And the common market is paying for it. And we're still in the common market, so we're still paying for it. And it's going round and round and round and round and doing nothing useful at all because the ephemeris is out of date.
Oh, dear.
You did ask. Are you regretting asking yet?
No,
this is the European Galileo, which is the equivalent of GPS, which we're paying for because we don't trust the Americans.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, get the point of that, really. But this is the one that they're not going to let us carry on joining in with after we come out, even though we've put a load of money into it already.
How much is this already in?
Well, because we're, like, sharing with everybody else, it's only, like, hundreds of millions.
Over how many years?
Yeah, but it's not even finished yet.
Oh.
And it's been down for, like, a couple of weeks and only just started working again, and they haven't said what's gone wrong.
Aliens.
Aliens,
yeah.
Pretty much, yeah.
Oh, you've seen Independence Day. First thing to go is the satellites.
Oh,
they're up there now.
Oh.
Wasting our tax dollars.
Take me with you, please. Please, how do I turn on this beacon? Take me with you. Didn't work.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
So this is the thing that we're going to have to pay like literally like 3-4 billion quid to replace if we come out of the common market.
So is this like a mortgage that you're paying for on the house, and the house is just sort of not a house, I don't know, and you're going to have to pay for it for the rest of your life?
It's a mobile home and it's gone now.
All that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as it's a house that you can't live in.
Nice. Well, it's a thought that counts.
There you go. And while we're on fail of the month, the emergency backup fail of the month is the recall of Whirlpool tumble dryers.
Yes.
They've had to relaunch the recall.
Yeah, because there's still a lot of Whirlpool tumble dryers out there that are in danger of burning your house down.
I mean, it's not as if this is something that's been a big secret, but like when you've kept the recall secret, well, or ineffectively publicised. Mm-hmm. It's a poor do then when you have to relaunch the recall.
Yeah, well, that's our public service announcement of the day.
Yep. So don't get burnt down, everybody. You're listening to IT Stuff, BCB Radio 106.6 and all that. I can't think nobody's done that joke. We generally don't do obituaries on this show. Right, here's an instant trivia quiz. What was the last obituary we did on this show?
Harambe.
No. No. Grumpy Cat.
Oh. Sorry.
You pay. So, two quickie obituaries. First up, Professor Fernando Corbato, known to everybody as Corby. In the 1960s, he took the idea of computing as an information utility and he made it happen. So, interactive usage, not batch usage, logging in from remote locations, privacy and sharing and being protected from other users, operating systems written in high level languages, pretty much everything that's today's modern internet and phones and the cloud really has its roots in Corby and JCR Licklider and their research in the early 60s. And how did the BBC remember this giant of computing? Inventor of passwords dies.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Oh.
At least they also did manage to notice Chris Kraft dying. We said goodbye to him just this week. He devised the entire mission control setup during Mercury and Gemini and went on to make the Apollo and Space Shuttle programmes happen. And there is so much to learn by the way that they organised the whole mission control thing.
Definitely, yeah.
So, yeah. IT Stuff does obituaries. We'll try not to make that regular. YouTube news, I suppose.
Mm.
Because YouTube
is where the poo fits.
So what's up in YouTube?
We have good news and we have bad news. Which do you want first?
Ooh, let's have some good news, yeah.
Yay! Okie dokie. They're tweaking their copyright takedown policy. You know, we've moaned about this so often, haven't we?
The DMCA takedown and stuff.
Yeah.
Yep.
You've been a victim of it yourself, she.
Oh, yes.
Beethoven didn't come back from the dead just to complain about the Otley Chamber Orchestra, did he?
He didn't get any royalties.
No.
So what's going on? So
nevertheless,
what
you got the takedown for it.
I did, yes. And it was a private video as well, which was strange.
So from now on, YouTube is going to ask the complainers first exactly where in the video the infringement is said to occur.
Wow.
3 minutes, 28 seconds in, instead of having to guess.
Yeah.
And second, they're going to have to name the copyrighted work which they claim is being infringed.
Okay.
So this is going to turn it from, like, no longer some Kafka-esque sort of, like...
Well, they didn't say they're actually going to tell the people that the copyright strike is against, though,
ooh,
did they? Because they don't like telling you stuff.
Hmm.
Yeah, OK, we're going to have to watch out for that, then, aren't we?
Well, baby steps, I suppose.
Yeah, yeah.
What would change? What happened?
Oh, well, I don't know. If I'd researched this properly, I might have known. Never mind. And going on to the bad news, YouTube has unilaterally decided to ban all so-called hacking videos.
Okay, this is just strange.
I mean, they've not come up with any...
Poundland hacking videos?
Yeah, what kind of hacking? What does hacking mean?
No more Big Clive?
No more Big Clive?
No more Big Clive taking apart, like...
Yeah.
Phone adapters,
yeah,
and things? No,
oh.
I wish.
Hacking.
Oh, well. Or hacking that.
Oh, thanks, Dick. I'm sorry you're suffering back there in the steamy atmosphere of the studio.
Hmm.
Duh, climate emergency.
So, like, what is that? Hackaday. Have their entire account been banned?
To be fair, no, but to be fair, they tend to embed things that individuals have contributed.
Okay.
So you can guess that some of the back catalogue is going to get...
That's so strange.
So strange.
What is this?
It's, yeah, partly they're spotting keywords like hack and assuming that it's some kind of security breach how to.
Oh my goodness. This is terrible. This is very bad.
Yeah, pretty much. So, there you go. Baby steps.
I don't know about that. It's like one tiny little step forward and 10 million steps backwards.
Yeah. Have you not met the 21st century before?
This is horrible.
Maybe you're only allowed to do hacking videos if you're a famous person.
Oh.
All we need to do is get them sponsored by famous people and then they'll stay there.
Like the bloke from Google Project Zero, Tavis Ormandy.
Nice.
They're taking out his competition.
Yeah.
Deary
me. Well, genius.
So you need to find sponsorship from a big known hacker, mm-hmm. like the MIT or something. Great.
And time, I suppose, for our eco news slot, if you fancy.
Yeah.
The last that ever she saw him, carried away by a moonlight shadow.
Ooh, pretty song.
Yeah, so Chris spotted this one at the beginning of the month. It's brilliant. There's a crazy Finnish company from Finland.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm surprised. I really am surprised.
That's not Finnish as in, you know, gloss finish or eggshell finish.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear the eggshell joke on I'm sorry I haven't a clue.
Oh.
Eggshell, the well-known Microsoft spreadsheet.
Oh.
No, okay.
Wow.
So these crazy things are working on cooking up meals from air and water, electricity and microbes.
Mm-hmm.
You start with some microbes, you electrolyze the water to give you some hydrogen, you feed the hydrogen and some CO2 from the air to the microbes. The microbes get all jiggy-jiggy.
Ooh.
Ooh. Make baby microbes. And then you kill them all.
Oh, wow.
And you 3D print them into something palatable.
You kill them with the 3D printer. It's not just you kill them and then 3D print them. The 3D printer itself is the execution device.
Are you sure?
No, but I prefer it that
you
way.
You prefer it that way?
Yeah.
Right. Seriously?
Okay, yeah. Because I don't like the idea of like squirming microbes going down and down and down into the nozzle and say goodbye.
Sounds about right, though.
Sounds about right. Yum. So, this is awesome, though, isn't it?
So when is this coming to Tesco's?
Oh, I don't know, but they're targeting £4.50 a kilogram for this stuff.
Ooh.
So what do you got a price?
That's a bit pricey.
Chicken mince.
Is it? Well, it's quite, you know.
Is
like,
it okay?
It's round about the same sort of thing like beef burgers come in a bit less, you know, like okay. Cheapy sausages, they come in a bit less. That's about right, isn't it?
Yeah.
So apparently the texture is like flour. So
says you.
Well, you know, it looks like powder, flour, right? So
yeah.
I guess they said it can make it into some sort of gluten texturized thing.
Yeah.
Don't we already have flour, though?
Yeah, but this is made out of bacteria and air. And it uses very little energy, CO2. Well, it actually uses CO2 from the air.
Sucks it out.
Yeah. So, what is this? Carbon capturing
plants
stuff.
Plants do that as well.
That's amazing. No, this is great. They call it what? Electric food.
Ooh.
Apparently, that's a term for it. It's solient. Solient. I don't know why they call it solient.
Solent. As in,
made of
as in old people. Yeah.
So
it would be cheaper just to steal the 30 grand from each of the old people, wouldn't
they're
it?
Not going to use it. I keep telling you, they don't know what they're doing.
My mother's having a new bathroom put
see what
in.
I mean, they'll just get a bathroom. It's useless giving them money.
Tiling.
Dear.
Oh well, time I suppose for Go Home Elon You're Drunk. Featuring mostly this month Elon's partner, Grimes, the well-known musician.
Ex-partner.
What?
Right? Is it? I thought you said no.
No, they had track of these things.
No, they had a tiff, but they didn't split up.
Oh, well, here's a collaboration then.
Azealia Banks, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. They just had a.
Okay.
Good. Yeah. So anyway, she has shared her daily well-being routine.
Listen close.
Listen up.
My training is a 360 approach. I first maintain a healthy cellular routine where I maximize the function of my mitochondria with supplements such as NAD+, acetyl L-carnitine, magnesium, etc. This helps promote ATP and it's incredibly visceral. From that point, I spend 2 to 4 hours in my deprivation tank. This allows me to astroglide to other dimensions, past, present, and future. In the afternoons, I do a 1 to 2 hour sword fighting session with my trainer, James Liu. We go over the fundamentals that work the obliques, core stabilizers, and triceps, as well as a few tricks. To wind down from this, I spend 30 to 45 minutes on an incline height at roughly 4 to 5 miles an hour, arguably the most efficient workout. I then spend 45 minutes stretching before heading into the studio where my mind and body are functioning at peak level with a neuroplastic goal between 57.5 and 75.5 APHCs, which is my preferred range for my blood type. I've outfitted my studio with the highest grade of red light. It is pretty much 1,000 square foot IR sauna. And that then comes over and we do a screaming session for 20 to 25 minutes.
That's where I slow boil the honey tea.
That maximizes vocal proficiency. I have also eliminated all blue light from my vision through an experimental surgery that removes the top film of my eyeball and replaces it with an orange ultraflex polymer that my friend and I made in the lab this past winter as a means to cure seasonal depression. I go to bed with a humidifier on.
Oh, to be rich.
Oh, dear. Every single fiber of my being just goes... So not cool, Grimes. What happened to you?
Yeah. The full version of that is available on our podcast. And we leave you with The Fall and British people in hot weather and a lot of wind. Goodbye, everybody.
Toodles.